The following is a paid presentation of Central Maine Healthcare.
99.5 WCME.
Good morning. Welcome to yet another edition of Central Maine Healthcare Close-Up on Radio Midcoast WCME. Our guest this week, Dr. Prakash Viswanathan. He is an interventional gastroenterologist on the staff of Central Maine Medical Center. We are doing this interview, this program, in, of course, the month of March, which is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. We always try to be as topical as possible, Doctor. So we really appreciate you joining us today. That is quite a title to be able to say that you're an interventional gastroenterologist. What does that mean in terms that we might all be able to understand? What do you do?
So thank you anyway, again, for having me here today.
Sure.
So I'm an interventional gastroenterologist, which is more of a super specialized gastroenterologist. Basically, it's a highly specialized field of a fellowship-trained gastroenterologist that uses the standard endoscopies and colonoscopies, but then also uses newer technology to perform minimally invasive, therapeutic, and palliative surgical procedures, diagnosing cancers, and also palliation in terms of alleviating symptoms, from doing ERCPs to taking out stones from the bile duct to diagnosing pancreatic, lung, colon, liver cancers.
So you really work with a wide range of body parts.
Correct, correct.
And that was interesting that you say you make a lot of use of technology. Can you give us some idea of what you're doing with the technology that you may not have been able to do maybe 10, even 5 years ago?
Actually, technology has gone much better these days, because 10 years ago, ultrasound was still coming about. And now I feel with the technology, the visualization of ultrasound technology has made the ability of using less radiation and helping and diagnosing and visualizing different parts of the body, which we weren't able to.
Yeah, we hear a lot about ultrasound, and I know there's been a huge volume of development in that. It's basically about making all this safer, right?
Correct. Safer, patient comfort, and preventing patients going for surgery to get a diagnosis.
How did you happen to take an interest in all this? This is a quite specialized and evolved form of medicine here.
Yes, you're right. Because actually, funny thing, I was actually a computer programmer prior to deciding to go into medicine. So I was a computer consultant for 2 years, and then I decided, let me try medicine. And I loved the hands-on aspect. I loved talking to patients.
Your background in computers would help you to understand the technology associated with what you do.
Correct. But then the problem with when I was in computers was there was no human interaction. And I'm more of a people person, and I love to talk and joke around and make my patients comfortable, because I know how it is on the other end. You know, it's very stressful and not knowing where it is, and I can relate sometimes based on also what happened with my parents. So I think talking to the patients and trying to give them what could be, because I love to teach, and I think the patients need to understand what is going on, and I'm very open and honest about what is happening, and I try not to sugarcoat anything.
That's interesting. You took care of some sick parents.
My dad had CNS lymphoma, and I knew, like, you know, at that time, don't know what's going on. And when I saw my father's doctor and explain everything, you know, it made me want to be like that doctor and try to be as compassionate and informative.
So it sounds like your medical education may have begun with your parents' illness.
Correct.
It's very interesting.
That is correct.
That's not really a typical way that most doctors begin their medical educations.
Right.
Now, I can certainly imagine how that would happen. So you talked a little bit about it, but what kind of procedures that we might have some familiarity with are you performing these days?
I perform a variety of procedures from endoscopies, which is a long tube with a camera at the end where we would go down through your mouth into your stomach and the beginning of your small intestine to assess to see if there's any issues with swallowing, stomach pain, diarrhea. So looking at the stomach, your food pipe, and your beginning of your intestines. And then colonoscopy, where we would go through your rectum and go all the way around through your whole colon and assess if there's any polyps or any evidence of cancer. But I perform also further procedures that general gastroenterologists that don't perform it, which are endoscopic retrograde cholangiopancreatography, or ERCP for short, go and assess the pipe that drains your liver to see if there's any gallstones that's causing a blockage, which can lead to pain and fever, which can lead to something called cholangitis. And then finally, endoscopic ultrasound, which I touched on a little bit before, where it's like a long tube with a camera at the end and has a ultrasound probe that's attached to the end. And that will help assess the organs outside the luminal GI tract, like the pancreas, the lung, the liver, adrenal glands, kidneys, things that we were not able to assess and fully visualize with our technology 10, 15 years ago. And now also, I also am able to also do endoscopic suturing, where instead of having surgery open you up and close a defect, we can go through your mouth, close off this defect, and get you in and out of the hospital in less than a day. And then finally, also placing stents, just like how they do stents in the heart, we can place stents in the GI tract due to palliation for patients who have cancer that has the GI tract closed off, and these stents open it up, let the food move through, and help in keeping them comfortable.
And from everything I've heard, we're making a lot more use of stents in recent years.
That is correct, because I feel this is less invasive, and bypassing the need for surgery.
How prevalent is colorectal cancer these days, and how are we doing at managing this?
As we know, March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. It is a good time actually to learn more about colorectal cancer, which is cancer of the colon and rectum. Colorectal cancer is basically the second leading cause of cancer deaths in the U.S.
Really?
Both men and women. And this year, approximately about 140,000 new cases of colorectal cancer will be diagnosed, and 56,000 will die from the disease.
Is colorectal cancer on the increase in today's world?
As we know, the rates of people aged 55 and over actually have dropped by 3.6% each year. But the interesting fact that I've been noticing is that the rates for people under 55 have increased by 2% each year, which is a little worrisome. And that's why this year is interesting that we have decreased the age requirement for colorectal cancer screening from 50 to 45.
Yeah, talk about the importance of screening. That sounds like the next step in this conversation.
So I think it's very important for people to undergo screening, especially in this day and time, because it it has been shown that it has, you're able to reduce the risk of colorectal cancer. So the American College of Gastroenterology recommends that people at an average age for colorectal cancer should begin screening at the age of 45. Where some people who are at higher risk should be screened at an age less than 45, such as people who have personal family history of polyps, history of inflammatory bowel disease, colorectal cancer, ovarian cancer, endometrial, breast cancer. So I think you should speak to your doctor to decide when to start your regular screenings. You should also talk to your doctor about colonoscopies if you have experienced any blood in the stool, if you had any change in bowel habits, any rectal pain or stomach pain, or if you've had a CAT scan that showed some abnormal imaging of your colon. I think that would be indication or time that I think it's time to just get a colonoscopy to see what's going on.
What else can we do just in the course of our day-to-day lives and maybe in relation to our eating habits and our health habits that might lower the risk of all this?
The first thing I think we should be doing is diet is an important thing we should worry about. But things that can help lower the risk of colorectal cancer, and as per the American College of Gastroenterology and the American Gastroenterology Association, they recommend eating low-fat diet, high fiber, and eating less meat. And they say if you consume alcohol, you should try and drink only in moderation. If you use tobacco, you should quit. And if you don't use tobacco, don't start at all. Because alcohol and tobacco, especially in combination, has been highly linked to colorectal cancer and other GI cancers. They say also exercise for at least 20 minutes, 3 to 4 days a week, even moderate exercise like walking, gardening, or climbing steps up and down, has been shown to decrease the risk of colon cancer.
Who and what groups are at higher risk for these cancers?
Specifically, patients who have a family history of colon cancer, African-American males and females, patients who have a history of inflammatory bowel disease are at a higher risk for colon cancer. Family history, it's just more genetics, which play a huge role in creating polyps and developing colon cancer, especially there are certain mutations and certain syndromes that has been associated with colon cancer. There's also similar, like how with breast cancer, they look at the BRCA gene to see if they are higher risk for developing further breast cancer. Same thing with colon cancer. There is specific gene mutations that increase the risk. Also, in terms of inflammatory bowel disease, anything that causes chronic irritation to the GI tract causes further mismatches to the genes and further damage, thus causing mutations and causing risk for polyps and subsequently colon cancer.
I have heard that people who live in poverty may, in general, be more at risk for these kinds of cancers, perhaps because that would make them more likely to eat an unhealthy diet. What do you think about that?
Actually, there has been studies that show that patients with or from low socioeconomic regions are at high risk. This is probably due to the fact that they are more likely to eat more fatty foods foods that are low cost, and that has been shown to increase the risk of cancer, because especially diets high in fat causes irritation to the colon, and that emulsification becomes carcinogenic and thus causes the increase of colon cancer propensity.
Doctor, not only do you have an extensive and colorful background in all this, but you have at least one person on your staff who, you know, we might make similar statements about. Talk about that.
One of our esteemed GI nurses, Brittany Cameron, basically implemented a program that our whole department is participating in to help raise awareness and celebrate colorectal cancer awareness month. And basically this program has helped to change and improve people's lives, lifestyle, and thus helping decrease the risk of colon cancer. It's been designed in such a way that everyone, young, old, every fitness level is able to participate and fulfill their individual goal. This program is broken down into a point system where one point is given for 30 minutes of exercise a day, a point for 5,000 steps, a point for drinking 72 ounces of water a day, and a point for getting 7 hours of sleep. And everybody in this program is also makes a nutrition or a lifestyle goal. Example, avoiding smoking, avoiding alcohol, avoiding cheese, etc. So you get 1 point if you meet that every day. And thus the end goal of the program is to get as many points and as possible and hopefully continue this new lifestyle. I feel that we should lead by example, and we should expand this March Madness, quote unquote, to the whole community, and that might help in decreasing our risk for colon cancer.
This is all very interesting, and we could talk a lot more, but unfortunately, we're out of time. Dr. Prakash Viswanathan, you have a very interesting background, and I find it very interesting that you entered the medical field after taking care of your parents when they became ill. Thank you very much for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me.
And Dr. Viswanathan, again, is an interventional gastroenterologist on the staff of Central Maine Medical Center. I'm Jim Blykamp. We'll have more health talk and more health information a week from today at this same time on Central Maine Healthcare Close-Up from Radio Midcoast WCME.